that note, let's head on over to Ryan Harris, who I just said was the former Australian test bowler and was one of cricket's best analysts, to go through the recent test match between Australia and the West Indies, where we won by 164 runs. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, Jamie. Nice to speak to you.
Thanks for coming on this morning. I'll just get straight into it. And watching this test match, it looked as though Steve Smith is right back at the peak of his powers. He just looked, he was at such ease and went the entire test without being dismissed.
Yeah, quite amazing, isn't it, really? it's amazing the way he goes about his batting and cricket. The amount of attention, I guess, he gets for, you know, finding his hands and all these little intricacies that he does and has. He's a guy that just loves batting, a bit like Marnus, LeBuchet. That's why they get on so well. They just love batting. So for him to be able to come out and do that and not Peter Smith is quite amazing.
You just mentioned Marnus. I have to say, I reckon he's probably the luckiest player. Dropped twice in the first innings, out to a no ball in the second, although with a double century and a century in the same innings, it's pretty impressive.
Unbelievable, really. I mean, I think I saw a stat over the weekend that a mate sent to me. I think he's 29 tests or something. He'd been dropped 15 times.
Which is just nuts.
and then chucking the no ball as well, this test as well. But there's no doubt that but being a bowler, they get too much luck batters. But you obviously need a bit of luck, when you're out batting. And he's obviously definitely had that. But to score 200 and 100, he's another one. We've done a lot of work with him in Queensland this summer so far, and he probably hadn't made as many runs as he would have liked. So, he went over there probably not in great form. But again, once he seems to get together with Steve Smith and they work together and talk batting, I'd hate to be around that conversation, to be honest. But they love talk, as I said, and they work on each other's games. And he's obviously done a couple of little things like that with Steve and come out and done that, which is amazing, great to see.
Ryan, well, from a bowler's perspective, it looked hard work. Other than the start of the first day, but even the West Indies couldn't seize on that. What did you make of their attack?
Oh, I didn't mind it. I thought they had a reasonable test match, to be honest. It's probably a silly thing to say after they've lost the test match, but just hearing that the hype going into the test match, everyone thought we were just going to walk over them and bowl them out cheaply and win the test match quite easily. But they put up a great fight. Obviously, their captain batted really well. I got 102nd innings, 60 in the first innings. The Gung Chernapal playing his first test looked really, really good. So their batting looks okay. Probably the top three or four, you get through that, looked a bit thin. But going back to their bowling, I thought it was pretty good, to be honest. And I know we put 598 on the board, but I still think they created chances. They probably went away a little bit from their plans. I thought the first hour when they bowled and pitched the ball up, they looked quite dangerous. But they seemed to go away from that quite quickly and went to bowl sort of a bit shorter, and that's sort of when we were able to get away. But I thought all in all that they put up a pretty good performance.
So the big question mark heading to Adelaide will be the fitness of Pat Cummins, who didn't bowl yesterday but fielded. But you could see that he was in pain. Is this the time to now bring in Ashes hero Scott Boland to replace him?
Oh, I think it might be. Unfortunately, I saw him chase the ball yesterday. We all did, I think. Saw him chase the ball to the fence yesterday. And that didn't look good at all. And with it being only a short turnaround, that's going to be a massive effort to get him up. So, and I think they'll be smart about it, obviously, because there's another big test series to follow as well that they could potentially ruin that as well. So I think Scotty Boland will be the one that will come in. And obviously, Steve Smith will probably, like he did, he sort of slot back into the captaincy role for that next test. And then hopefully from there, it's not bad enough that it keeps him out of the South African series.
I know asking a bowler if they wanted to rest is a silly question, but the workload on Cummings, Hazelwood and Stark's going to be significant this summer. And we found last year maybe we didn't rest them enough. What's your theory of it, particularly for the tests?
Well, I think... would have happened. I would have been very surprised if Boland didn't play the next test anyway. It probably wouldn't have been in place of the captain. But that it has to be done. Just with the next 15 months, I think, what is it, 15 tests or 18 months or 15 tests, I've been hearing a little bit of hype around when Pat Cummins was given the captaincy with the one-day team and then played one game and missed. And how could that happen? That's all part of his plan. But they would have mapped this out. a year ago, to play certain games and what he can and can't play. So that would have been part of his plan. And I think, as I said, there would have been, whether it was Cummins or whether it was Stark or Hazel, there would have been the change definitely going into this next test. So they do need to have a rest here and there because there is a lot of cricket. And as you said, and I hate saying that, because you don't like giving your spot up, especially as a bowler, because there's only four, three of them. But with physically, with what's coming up, it's a massive schedule. So they'll do it. I think you nail it there. That they probably haven't done enough over the last sort of 2 years, and they probably realised that they guys do need a rest. And we saw it last year, and Scotty Boland did all right. So we'll probably see him this test match.
And we have to mention Nathan Lyon. He got six very. It's weird. He sort of seems to be criticised. There's an element of criticism that follows him around, which is bizarre given his record.
It's phenomenal. I don't understand it. I was just reading through before all the ratings for the test match on one of the websites, and I think he got 8.5. Well, he got 6, though. He just bowled him to victory. The rest of them get 10. He gets 8.5. I agree. I don't know why and where it comes from. Again, I think it's just people just expecting to go out on a sort of 4th, 5th day wicket and just bowl the ball and get a wicket every ball. Something like it works. And, he was phenomenal again yesterday. And he loves bowling in Perth with the bounce and it was spinning as well. So, he did a great job yesterday. And once again, he did that. He bowled Australia to a win. But again, I don't agree with all this criticism. Is he 8th now, I think, on the all-time wicket list of test wicket takers? This is a bloke who moved to Adelaide all these years ago as a curator, tried to make it as a cricketer, as a spinner, and just got an opportunity. And then here he is now, 100 tests later, and he's killing it. So I agree, the criticism is probably a bit unfair.
Although he's playing second fiddle to Travis Head soon, the way this is going.
let's not get confused over it. Trav's only a part-timer. Let's not put him up on that pedestal just yet. But it's great to be able to have options like that, though. For Trav, he's always had that little knack of coming in and breaking partnerships. But he's obviously, working on his bowling a lot more now, and he's probably getting past that part-timer. And if he can get another option, especially when they go to India, that gives another option, obviously, with the spinning option as well.
Well, Ryan, thank you so much for your time this morning, and enjoy the second test.
That will do. Thanks, guys. Thank you.